Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So welcome to this episode of The Gut Goddess Show, and this week I'm going to be sharing with you Merlin's birth story. So he's about to turn one, and I thought it was time to share about his birth, how he came to be on this planet, what my plan was, how I felt about it, what actually happened, and some of my key takeaways for those of you that maybe have had kids, those of you that are maybe thinking about having kids. So this is going to be a really juicy and vulnerable episode, but I think it's going to be really, really helpful. But before we dive on in, a couple of things. Have you done the Gut Goddess quiz yet? Which you can do over at supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. If you are thinking, gosh, Kezia, I have no idea why I'm so tired, why I'm so bloated, what the heck is going on with my body? Why can't I lose weight? What is happening? Then you can go over and do this quiz, which is really like an online health assessment, which will really help to direct you in what could be going on in your body. So if you're wondering, why the heck am I bloated all the time? Why the heck am I binging on cheesecake every Friday? Why can't I stop this? Head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz, do the Gut Goddess quiz. And what I'll do is give you that kind of some bespoke and tailored feedback and advice based on your quiz results that'll help you to get started. So head over supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. It's been a long time coming. I have actually recorded this episode before and then just, I don't know, didn't feel like I wanted to put it out in the world just yet. But now that Merlin is, this will be coming out to you near the time when Merlin turns 1 year old, 1 year old, 1 year old, 1 year old. I thought it was time to share it. I still feel a little bit of resistance about sharing it. And I think that is maybe just because I'm actually quite a private person. You might not think that from looking at my Instagram or social media, but there's some things that I just like to keep pretty private. And so I also wanted just to really have a bit of time and space to think about the birth and how I felt about it before just kind of like, I don't know, verbally diarrheaing it all on you. Not because it was a particularly awful experience, just because it was my experience and I wanted a little bit of time to sit with it. But I think this is going to be something actually really powerful and helpful about sharing it from my perspective, just me talking it through my own process and journey of it, and also for those of you out there, just to hear how things went, what I'm going to talk about is what the plan or the loose plan or the general intention was around birth, what actually happened and how I feel about it. And throughout that, I'll share a couple of my own, sage wisdom, although I'm not too sure I would call it sage wisdom, but a couple of the things that I have taken away from it. So Merlin Alexander Merrick Hall was born in September 2018. So he's my first baby. And in terms of the lead up and the run up to his birth, I had a couple of set ideas, I suppose, and I'd done a lot of work. I felt like I did quite a lot of work in preparing for birth. In my head, birth was a lot like an intense endurance event, like a marathon or an Ironman event. And so I realized that I should approach birth with that same preparation, just like I would do if I was entering an Ironman event. I couldn't just stroll up a week before the event and be like, oh, I'm going to do this and it'll be fine. No, it requires months and months of work. So all through pregnancy, I was aware of this idea of preparing for birth. So from a physical perspective, making sure I kept up my strength and my fitness as much as possible, because I was in a lot of pain when I was pregnant, and really working on core strength, doing things like Pilates. I did hypnobirthing. So that comes with a lot of kind of visualizations, which are really, really helpful, kind of like meditations, visualizations around birth and kind of really helping you to relax, I also did NCT classes, and that was more to really help Joe from like a practical perspective and also make some friends. So shout out to any NCT friends listening. We also did that. I didn't actually read a lot of books. I think I read the hypnobirthing book, and I read a couple of people sent me really positive birth stories. So I read different positive birth stories, but I didn't read a lot of other books, or I didn't ask a lot of people for their birth stories unless they told me it was going to be a more positive experience. I also kept my eye out on like the positive birth stories. There is a book around positive birth, I think, that I've heard is really good, but I didn't read it. So that was kind of how I prepared. And I was also equally aware that I can have lots of ideas and plans, but equally you can't control birth. Like, you just can't. And as much as we would like to, I was aware there was a part of me, the logical part of me, knew that I couldn't control it. But the feelings part of me was hoping and wishing that it would all go to plan. And I think some of it, the thing that I found really difficult about birth, to be honest, was I was really hoping that it would be this kind of redemption experience. So what I mean by that is I have really struggled my whole life with kind of mild, annoying sicknesses. And from that, I feel like I've developed a bit of a disconnection from my body, from my physical body. I don't really trust it. I've really struggled to love it and like it just because I feel like it's consistently failed me as I've grown up from a young age, from some of my earliest memories. And so I felt like, okay, I've done a lot of work in supporting my body, that actually this birth experience could be a really great opportunity to see my body working as it should and really in all its kind of wonder and glory of birthing this baby. Not that I was expecting it to be like this orgasmic experience, but that I could see it doing something properly. Because I feel like a lot of my life has felt like I've needed to fight for my body to do things properly. And that a lot of that's to do with my beliefs, and I'm working on changing those. And a lot of that's to do with probably some old trauma around my body, which again, I'm working on. But that was kind of my expectation, was I was hoping that this birthing experience would really help me just to be like, oh, I can trust my body to do something. Like, I can trust my body. My body knows how to birth a baby. And that was a lot of my affirmations. A lot of what I was focusing on in my visualizations was, I can trust my body to do this. And it's going to be okay. And that, to be honest, wasn't my experience. And that's probably the thing that I found hardest. Because I really find, I think some of why I've had resistance of recording this episode, because I did actually record an episode with Joe, the two of us together, that was great. But it just didn't feel right. I just didn't want it out in the world just yet. And some of the resistance, I think, is actually, when I look back, when I think about my birth, part of me thinks it was a great experience, actually. There was so many positive outcomes, so many good things about it. And then part of me thinks, oh, it was really disappointing, like really disappointing. And so I found it really hard to kind of wrestle those two together. Part of me feels like it was really positive, and actually I had really positive aspects of birth. And then the other half of me is really disappointed in it as well. And more, not necessarily in birth, but more in how my body responded, I suppose. That's probably where the disappointment is. And that's all to do with the expectations that I had going in. So I think that's where the kind of wrestling has come from. But in terms of the plan, what was my plan pre-baby? I think it's great to have a plan. Oh, sorry. I think my husband's just decided to start hoovering. I'll just go and shut the door. So my birth plan, I didn't often call it a plan. I called it more of like a birth intention or kind of wishes. Because I think I'm aware that I think it's a really good idea to have a plan. And I wanted to have a plan, even though I knew it was probably mainly for my own, you know, my own sense of control. So it was good to have a plan, but I was also aware logically that it's really unlikely that my plan was going to go to plan. But I did set up a birth plan, and it was as follows. So I really want to try and have a home birth. So where I am in Glasgow, they have a specific team of midwives dedicated to home births. And so I only really decided this probably about 5 or 6 months in. I was weighing up the different options, looking at some of the different research, hearing about different experiences. And I just felt like I would feel more comfortable and more relaxed at home. So a lot of what you really want for birth is to feel as relaxed as possible. So I just wanted to spend as long as possible at home and ideally have the baby at home, just because I knew that's where I felt safest. There'd been no history in my family of any issues with birth, with my sister, with my mum. Between the two of them, I've had like 7 kids. There'd never been really any big dramas around that. So there wasn't that family history. I felt safe doing it. I felt safe with having midwives. I also didn't live that far away from a hospital. So there was no big issues if there was an emergency to get transferred, which is what happened in the end. No big issues there. So I thought, to be honest, I was like, well, what have I got to lose? Like, I start giving birth at home, and if I need to go to hospital, then I go to hospital. Then there we go. That was it. And I'm so glad I made that decision because we have a dedicated team just for home births. All my midwives' appointments were pretty much with the same midwife. My follow-up all after coming out of the hospital was all with the same midwife, pretty much. And it was so nice. And those midwives were so lovely, so respectful, open-minded. I think because they were the home birth team, and they were used to seeing all sorts of preferences. So nothing I threw at them, they didn't bat an eyelid. They didn't put any pressure on for induction. I declined to book an induction because Milan was born probably about 13 days overdue, and they were totally okay with that. There was no judgment. Honestly, I loved these midwives. They were so lovely. They helped so much with feeding on those days afterwards and getting me a breast pump from the hospital because there was so much issues and drama with milk supply and all of that sort of stuff. So I loved that decision. If I ever were to have another baby, I would probably also say I'm going to have a home birth just so I could get those midwives again, even if I decided to transfer to hospital. And then these midwives said that. They were like, you're actually much better off saying you want a home birth, planning for that. And then if in the final week you decide you want to go to hospital and have your baby, that's totally fine. But because with home birthing, there's just a lot more planning and prepping. So I had to get a delivery of all the equipment kind of a month before he was born. Any potential medications you have to get from the pharmacist, you know, they have to come and do a health and safety inspection of your home. I also wanted a birthing pool, so we had to get that and do a trial run of that and make sure we had enough towels and things to cover the sofa with and all of that sort of stuff. So that was my intention, and I really was hoping just to avoid hospital altogether. I think hospitals are great, but I just didn't see, unless there was emergency, I still don't think giving birth is necessarily, it's not a disease. It's like, I don't need to go into hospital. It's my body knows how to give birth. But equally, I'm so grateful there are hospitals there because evidently my body got a little bit confused along the way when it came to giving birth. So that was the plan. Okay, so he was due in September. I wasn't that convinced of the due date. I thought it was probably a week or two after, which is why I was really not keen to get induced, even though I was feeling super uncomfortable. But I suspected from my dates with my period and knowing my own body and when I had sex that actually his due date was probably later than what they had said. So I was not up for getting induced because I actually thought he's probably right on time. So he was technically 13 days overdue. I reckon he was probably actually at most like 5 days overdue from the actual due date. I get induced, and the plan was, so he was born on a Sunday. I went to labor Friday night early Saturday morning, like 3 a.m. And he was born Sunday afternoon. And the plan was, if he wasn't born by, I think, the Monday, I was just going to go into hospital every day to get checks until he decided to come. So that's a little bit about the plan. So the birth itself, I woke up probably about 3 or 4 a.m. and was like, oh, I think this is starting. Bearing in mind, I feel like I'd been waiting for ages by this point. I was like, come on, baby, get out. I felt huge. And like on the Friday, I noticed my stretch marks. I hadn't had any stretch marks at all in pregnancy. And then my stomach was covered with them. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. And my freezer was full of food. I'd baked so much stuff. I'd made so much chili and curry and muffins, and I bought a whole new freezer, which I highly recommend, and stuffed it full of food. I was kind of like ready-ish to go. And so it started about 3 a.m, kind of just feeling like a weird sort of period pains-ish. Stayed in bed for as long as I could, but then probably got up about 6. And then that morning, kind of into early afternoon, was just probably having kind of contractions every like 15 minutes. and nothing too intense. They were slowly building up with intensity, but not much. I then had probably about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I had a friend who'd had a home birth herself come and be like my unofficial doula. So I did look into getting an official doula, which maybe in the future, if I had another child, if I birthed another child, I might do. But actually, it was so lovely having this friend here. She has had 2 kids, 1 in hospital, 1 home birth, and she just knows me really well. Was really lovely, really kind, a really peaceful presence. I was so glad she was there. Really, really glad. And so she came over and things were still relatively chilled. I went on a couple of walks. I was listening to my kind of birthing soundtrack. Joe picked some apples. He made an apple crumble. You know, it was still relatively chilled. Although probably by about like 5 or 6 o'clock, I was getting a little bit concerned just because I felt like things were moving really slowly. And in all my visualizations and hypnobirthing, I had been foreseeing a quicker delivery. I was like, I really would love this to be done within like 9 or 10 hours. Because I know for some people that's the case. And I was like, I'd really love this to be done. And by the time it got to like 5 or 6, I was like, this isn't going to be quick, is it? So we phoned the hospital just to check in with them, got them to ask them if they could start to send out a midwife. That wasn't a really helpful conversation. That stressed me out, actually. Things just started to move pretty slowly. I think I ate some dinner at like 7 o'clock, but they were starting to feel a little bit more intense by that point. I think by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, the midwife had come out. So the home birth midwife comes out to your house and she'll just stay there. And then when she thinks it's time for you to actually give birth, like the baby's about to come out, they'll call in the second midwife, one for you, one for the baby. And she came and I think she told me I was something like, I can't even remember, something like 3 centimeters dilated, which was just pretty depressing. I'm not gonna lie. And then so I carried on, and then I think by the next time we checked, which was maybe about 11 or 12, I think I'd gone up to 5 centimeters. So I was like, okay, making progress. I think by about 1 or 2 in the morning, I went in the birth pool, which I actually didn't find that helpful. And also our birth pool had a slow puncture, which we didn't realize when we did the test runs of it. So that was annoying. I had to be like reinflated while I was in it. And it just wasn't hot enough. I was just like, what's the point of this birth pool? It's too cool. Like, I love a hot bath. So I've actually found standing in the shower more helpful. So, and they were trying to get me to move around to get things going. My water still hadn't broken. And so I think when she did another examination about 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, I was still 5 centimeters. So nothing had changed over about 5 or 6 hours. And by this point, I was done. I was totally exhausted. By this point, the contractions had been pretty intense from about 7 or 8 o'clock. So I just had felt like hours of quite intense contractions. Like, I was very much lost within myself by that point and not really getting anywhere. And by this point, probably by about 2 or 3 in the morning, to be honest, I just had this sense. I was like, I think I need to go to hospital. I think something's not quite right. I think I just need to go. I don't know. It was a really weird sensation. I was all up for home birth. I believed I could do it. I didn't feel afraid about it, but I just kind of felt like something was a little bit off with my baby, or now Merlin, with Merlin and with me. I was like, I'm not sure this is going to end up the way that I wanted. So by about 5 in the morning, the midwife was like, we can either stay here and I can break your waters for you, or you can go to hospital and we can break your waters and you can maybe get an epidural, have a bit of a rest, get your energy back so that you can kind of basically push this baby out, because I was just pooped by this point. And I was at that point where I was like, I was just tired and discouraged. I was like, 5 centimeters, is that it? That's rubbish. I've not changed after hours of this. So I then got an ambulance to hospital. It wasn't a particular emergency, but I just was away with it. And we went to hospital, and that's when this was a really helpful and positive part of it. I knew that as soon as I decided to go to hospital, there was going to be a whole host of interventions. And I really felt like I chose that. I was really hoping for a kind of natural birth, so no medications and interventions, minimal interventions as possible. That was really my hope and intention, and part of why I want to have the baby at home. But equally, I knew that in making that choice to go to the hospital, that I was saying yes to all the interventions, all the medications, all everything. And I was actually totally okay with that, because I knew that that was a consequence of that choice. So I arrived, They put a monitor around my tummy. I had to sit on the bed. They fixed me up to a drip to get the to kind of encourage labor and get my to encourage dilation. They just did all the things. I had to stay still. I was having checks all the time. Thankfully, when I got there, the midwife that got assigned to me I arrived just as their shift changed. So the midwife that I got was so lovely. And I think actually hospital births probably are completely dictated to by who your midwife is and by your personality. I know some people that just literally don't notice their midwife in the room, but I'm really sensitive and I can really sense the presence of other people in the room. And she was really lovely. She spoke to me really respectfully. She was no nonsense, like she wasn't like pandering, but she was really respectful and I just felt a genuine care and love from her. So she was absolutely lovely. And she was with me the whole time after I'd been in theater, the whole shebang. So that was complete grace of God, really lovely. And she really made the hospital experience so much better. Because when she was on breaks, I'd often get another midwife. And in those half an hour that I would get this other midwife, like everything would go downhill. Milan's heart rate would go down. I'd feel more pain. I'd get more stressed out just because this different presence would be in the room that was not as helpful for me. So I think her name was Siobhan. And she was just wonderful. Thank you, Siobhan. So we went to hospital and the plan was, I knew then going to hospital, I was like, right, the one thing I really, as much as possible, wanted to avoid was having a C-section. I was so aware of how having a C-section impacts the gut microbiome. And I really wanted Milan to have his best to start with his gut microbiome development as humanly possible. And so I really wanted to avoid a C-section, although I was totally open to it. I wasn't afraid of having it. And obviously I was like, if it's a life-saving procedure, go. I was like, jog on, do it. I don't care. But I want to avoid that as much as possible. So the plan was to go have an epidural, get a bit of relief for a while, kind of regroup my energy a little bit, and then push this baby out, have some drugs, intensify the contractions, and get this baby out. But I arrived, and it was a bank holiday weekend, and it was a Sunday, so I don't think they had enough doctors on, so I couldn't get an epidural. I was basically waiting for 9 hours for an epidural, and I never got one. So that was annoying. In the end, I ended up having some dimorphine because that was the only thing available to me. And that was, I do feel a little bit sad about that because that was the one drug from my research that I did before giving birth that I really didn't want to take. I really didn't want to have that. But at that point, probably by about 9 or 10 o'clock, I was aware that I wasn't going to be getting an epidural anytime soon. There wasn't enough doctors and there was too many emergencies and too many births and I was low on the list. And I just realized, and also the midwife said to me, look, you're not going to act, this baby isn't coming out anytime soon. So this is your option. Like, is this or nothing? And so I just decided to go for it. And it was actually fine. I know some people get really sick and whatever. I didn't find it. I think it helped a little bit, took the edge off a little bit, but it wasn't like completely life-changing, but it was helpful. So, and it was fine in the end. And then they were getting concerned. There was various concerns about his heart rate and how Milan was doing. So they put in a little heart rate monitor into his head. And then probably about 12 o'clock, a midwife had come in and I was fully dilated by that point. And she was like, okay, well, we'll come back and then we'll get ready to push. And by this point, guys, honestly, I was like, you have got to be freaking kidding me. I've been asking for an epidural for about 7 hours. I'm absolutely knackered. I can't do this. And it didn't feel right in my body. It just felt, I was getting these really, so the contractions had kind of changed by that point to like the pushing down contractions. Like you have the ones that are kind of opening and then you have your pushing down in that sort of third or second stage. And it just didn't feel, things felt a bit stuck and a bit odd and not quite right. And I was just like, guys, I don't literally have the energy to push this baby out. You've got to be freaking kidding me. I just can't. I was just at that point, I was like, I just can't do this. And then I had a doctor come in and check. And then all of a sudden, everything was all very quick, flurry and concerned. And I had a doctor saying, we want to take you to theater, deliver this baby by forceps because we're really concerned about their heart rate. So we want to get them out as quick as possible. So I was all like, by that point, to be honest, they could have said, we want you to stand on your head and we're going to birth this baby out of your nose. And I would have been like, sure, just get this baby out. So what happened was I ended up needing to go to theatre, having that kind of, it's not an epidural, but you know, the procedure so that you can numb all your legs from the waist down. And Merlin was born in theatre via forceps, which is basically like big pliers that they use to kind of pull them out. And I think because what had happened is at the start, like right up to giving birth, he was in the perfect position. The midwives had checked, it all was good. And then at some point, I think throughout labor, he'd actually moved. And so what I was probably feeling, I think when I was at home, is that he just wasn't in the right position. And I was feeling, I was probably fully dilated for quite a while, but he was just like pushing against my back. So pushing and pushing and pushing what felt like against my spine or something along those lines. So he was actually kind of a little bit in the wrong position, a bit stuck. So the obstetrician went in there with some forceps, basically big pliers, and their hands, they actually said they managed just to shuggle him out a lot with hands. I had a episiotomy where they cut and then they went in with the forceps and he was born. Which by that point I was just like, get him out. I honestly don't care how, just get this baby out. And it was so awesome going into theater. It was super grim as they were trying to administer the drugs into my spine. So giving me that spinal, totally grim. I was in having really intense contraction, trying to push this baby out, but the baby was stuck in this theater and they're trying to get you to stay in this specific position. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me, trying to get me to sign stuff and ask me questions. I was like, guys, I am not on planet Earth right now. But when those drugs kicked in, oh, glory be. Honestly, I was like, why the frick was I trying to do this naturally? I was like, what is the point in that? So that was glorious. And I felt like I came back to myself once the pain and the discomfort and the intensity had gone. Oh, well, wasn't it? I was going to say, wasn't really pain. It was just the most uncomfortable I've ever felt in my life. Because I was expecting it to be painful. Like, ooh, ow, ow, pain. It wasn't that. It was just intense and really uncomfortable. That was probably how I personally would describe it. And then he was born. He got whisked away a little bit because I think they were a little bit concerned, which was a little bit sad. I felt like I was waiting for ages for them to put him in my arms. But then all was fine. And he was a big baby, 9 pounds two. And he, even though he had forceps, sometimes forceps babies can get a lot of scratches or like a funny cone head. He had a couple of scratches on his face, but he was actually fared pretty well. And he was just a big, sleepy baby. And that was how he came into the world. And I was so excited. It was so good. And in that theatre recovery, it was just me and Joe in the bay with my lovely midwife keeping an eye on me. And I was just like, oh, Jesus, I have freaking done this. Praise the Lord. Joe, bless him, I think was a little bit traumatised by the whole experience. I think he found it really hard just not being, watching me go through that, not having that much he could do. Although he was great all throughout the whole thing, he was counting me down every contraction. He counted down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. It was rubbing my back. He was great. Beth was amazing there. She was there that whole time. She came to hospital with us and she was a great advocate actually in hospital and looking after us, and it was just a wonderful presence to have in the room, just because I know I'm sensitive to those kinds of things. It was so lovely to have that and really helpful for Joe. It meant Joe could maybe go away, because by this point he'd been up for like 36 hours, go away, have a cup of tea, come back in, and Beth would stay with me, and they did a little shift like that, which was really, really helpful. It was so good having Beth there, so good having Joe there. I'm really glad I had two people, so I'd highly recommend getting a second birthing partner, doula, whatever it is. So, so helpful. Someone you really trust, someone who you sense a really good atmosphere from. Really helpful. So then we were in hospital. So he was born about 1:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. So we stayed in hospital, had my parents come and visit. I had to endure my worst nightmare, which was having a catheter, which is actually totally fine. I think because I'd worked in hospital and emptied like a million people's catheters and helped various catheters get inserted and in my hospital days, I was just a bit like, oh no, I don't want that. It was actually totally fine. So don't freak out about having a catheter, guys. It's no big deal. And so then I just had an overnight in hospital, which was fine. Actually, the midwives were lovely. I was in a room with only one other mum and all our babies were quite quiet and she was really lovely. So I got to have a bit of a sleep. Millen was pretty mucousy, but pretty healthy and happy. And we got discharged the next day. And the care of the midwives, honestly, was so lovely. And I think, like I mentioned at the beginning, that I was really hoping it would be a redeeming experience for trusting my body. And I didn't feel like it was in the way I expected, but I did feel like it was such a redeeming experience when it comes to trusting doctors and medical care and hospitals, because I've had some not positive experience when it comes to the NHS and doctors and hospitals. And this was a really positive experience. I felt really looked after, seen, had a really good experience. People were really loving, and that was really positive. I honestly could not speak highly enough of midwives and the work that they do, and the doctors and the obstetricians and the anaesthetist, because unfortunately I think I had a trainee anaesthetist or something, so I had, who was trying to put my spinal in, and he tried several times and it was pretty painful because I kept on getting shooting pains in wrong places and all sorts. And so I think he probably called in a senior guy to put my spinal thing in, and he was so lovely. He was really nice, and he did it in fist. Like, he did it in a wanna. I was like, yes, do not give me a training doctor, guys. This is not the time and the place for that. So it was a redeeming experience. And so we were home by about like lunchtime on Monday, which was great because I did not want to stay in hospital longer than needed to. I'd had a positive experience, but I wanted to get home. And yeah. And that was that. And then within a couple of days, that's when all the feeding drama started. So we did have quite a lot of feeding drama that went on for like 5 months. But honestly, now that I'm a year in and I'm still breastfeeding him, breastfeeding was honestly grim for us for 5 months. So he's born in September and it only started to get better in January this year. But now that I am still breastfeeding him and it's easy and simple, I'm so glad that I stuck with it. And it was like, guys, it was awful, painful, blisters, bleeding. Like, I would literally feed him and I had this brace that I would put in, like a retainer, and I'd bite down on that because it was so painful. I got all the help, lactation consultants, went to breastfeeding clinics, got private health help, all the things. And it was, I just literally tried everything and it was awfully sore. And also I had low supply, which was even more discouraging because it's not like, oh, well, it's painful, but at least he's getting enough food. No, it's painful. And I'm also not producing enough milk. And some of that was just because I lost so much blood in theater. And I think just the trauma of all of that stuff going on, and potentially my thyroid as well. So that's when the feeding drama started. And also recovery was pretty harsh as well. I think with the episiotomy and those issues with putting in that spinal meant I had really weird nerve pain for a while. I couldn't walk or sit properly for probably about a month, probably maybe slightly longer than that. That was much sore than I was expecting. A couple of weeks in, I was just like crying just because sitting was so sore. I still couldn't walk around very easily. The stitches were kind of tugging and sore. So that was more sore than I was expecting, actually. But we were home and I had Millen and I was so surprised at just how much I loved him. I was really prepared, actually, to maybe not feel that connection initially, because not everyone does. And I was really prepared for that kind of postpartum slump those 4 days in. But I was so pleased he was here. I still am. He's such a little bundle of joy. He's so happy. He was a really chilled baby, as babies go, other than feeding, which was awful. Everything else he was pretty chilled with. And I still am totally in love with him. And when I think back to birth now, I still remember it very clearly. It's not like there's nothing rose-tinted about it. But yeah, I'm so glad he got here. I need that he's here now. So that is my birth story, pretty much. And Millen's birth story, not my birth story, Millen's birth story. So it was a real mixture. I honestly look back and think, geez, oh, some bits were really hard. And actually since that, I really think actually giving birth has kind of unlocked some old other trauma in my body, because of the trauma of theater and the blood loss and all of those things. That's why I started counseling again, is that I started to get dreams and felt like birth actually reawakened some old traumas that I'd never really dealt with and had just kind of like squashed deep, deep down into like the Pandora's box of my soul and tried to ignore and forget. And I think birth actually really opened that box up, which is why I've been having regular therapy since to help process that. So I've not been having therapy about birth. It's not like that. It was that terrible. I don't think. It's actually, but it unlocked some other kind of traumas from years and years ago, which are what I wasn't expecting. So that's actually the hardest bits about having Merlin, to be honest, and this past year have been that the traumas it's unlocked and breastfeeding. I think those have been the really difficult bits, and the disappointment of my body of just being like, because to be honest, I felt like my body failed me again. And I have this feeling that my body has always failed me. And that's something I'm kind of working through in therapy. And it's not really about the birth, to be honest. It's about some old, old things. So that's been really hard. And the disappointment around not having a home birth, that's been really hard. Because I've had friends and people that have had great first home births. And it's all gone brilliantly and perfectly to plan. But mine didn't. And that is disappointing. So it's a really odd mixture. But then equally, I look back and think I had a really positive hospital experience. Millen was born really healthily. It's a really weird mixture of being really hard, slightly traumatic, and also really grateful and feeling like some aspects went better than I had thought. So it's weird. Looking back and thinking about birth is weird. I'm trying not to, because I know time can sometimes make us be like, oh, it was all fine and it's all worth it to have Millen. I don't know. Like, I'm so glad Millen's here, but it was a really hard process. And also, I hated being pregnant. I didn't enjoy it at all. And maybe if I was to be pregnant again, I might have a completely different experience. But it was just a lot. Making humans is a lot, which is why this past year I have been so focused on recovery, looking after myself, getting therapy, getting acupuncture, working on my pelvic floor, making sure I'm taking my supplements, eating really well, really focusing on sleep training for Millen so that I am sleeping, which thankfully we were sleeping through the night pretty early on, which I think really helped in my recovery emotionally and physically. And so I've been really focused on recovery since that period because it was just felt like a lot. And so for those of you listening, if you've had like 2, 3, 4 kids and you've never intentionally focused on recovery in terms of nutrition, support, body, pelvic floor, I really encourage you to do that. It's never too late. It's a really typical thing that I see with clients when I'm doing their kind of health history with them, is they were like, yeah, I had a couple of health issues, but generally fine. And then I had my first baby and then was really tired and they didn't sleep. And then I had my second baby and then everything goes to shit, basically. It's a really common thing. Pregnancy and birth and keeping that human alive once they've been born is just really, really intense, and it's a lot on your body. So I think it's really important that we are aware that we're super intentional of recovery, of that postpartum period, that kind of fifth trimester of recovery. And I was, for the first 90 days after he was born, I really focused on that, really focused on good nutrition. I had a freezer full of awesome food, really focused on kind of trying to rest as much as possible, sleep as much as I could. I napped in the day as much as I possibly could. I ate as much food as I possibly could, all good, healthy, nutrient dense food, vegetables, smoothies, eggs, loads of eggs, things, stew with beef and liver and kidneys in, all this stuff that I'd made beforehand. I wasn't making, and just to say, I didn't make any meals for the first 4 months of Merlin being around, because either we did a meal train with where different people signed up to give me meals. So I had that. I also had my mom delivering tons of meals, and I also had a freezer full of probably maybe 15 or 20 main, probably more than that, main meals. So that was honestly a total godsend in my recovery. So that is Merlin's birth story, guys. I hope that's been helpful. So some takeaways, if you are thinking of having a baby or you've had a baby, is if you've had a baby, have you recovered? Have you strengthened your pelvic floor? Have you replaced those nutrients lost? Have you caught up on sleep? Have you intentionally focused on recovering? It takes intention. It's not just going to happen. You're not just going to do it. Not in the culture that we live in. Have you focused on it? And if you are thinking of having a baby or you're pregnant now, what is your intention for your birth? How are you preparing for it? How are you preparing mentally and physically? How are you preparing your freezer? How are you preparing your home for having the baby, the birth, but more so, I'd say you actually want to focus more of your attention on the postpartum time, those 3 months. How are you preparing for that recovery after you've had the baby? Because, you can have intentions and plans when it comes to birth, but equally, birth is also a time of just having to let go, and you can't control it. But you can control what you have in your freezer. You can control how much help you have set up for after them being born. You can control, you know, how you're going to approach sleep and who's going to, you know, look after baby and feed them in the night all the time. These are the things that you can control. So those would be my main takeaways. I hope this has been helpful. And let me know if you have any other questions. If you've not seen a cute picture of Merlin, then just head over to my Instagram or Facebook. He's so cute. He's turning 1 year old really soon, and we are going to be having a party because I am celebrating myself, guys. Yep, I'm going to celebrate Merlin, and we've got him some cute presents, and he's going to have some cake. But I want to celebrate his first birthday so that I can freaking celebrate myself. This has been hard and challenging, and there's been some really difficult moments in it. And all, it's so weird. I think some of the things that I was expecting to be really hard weren't that hard with birth and just parenting this past year. So certain things have been way easier. Sleep has been way easier than I was expecting. Looking after him way easier, adjusting way easier. And then other things have been way, way harder. So having to suddenly deal with some old issues, that coming and biting me in the butt, was not expecting that, and all the emotions and anxiety and feelings that followed that. Breastfeeding, was not expecting that to be like torture for 5 months, honestly, and all the disappointment that that comes from, because in the end I'd combination fed him and I'm a nutritionist. I just wanted to breastfeed him. I know that that is the better nutritional option, even if it's maybe not the better option from other aspects, but I chose to combination feed him, and actually that has been one of the best choices I've made. I'm so glad I did that. It's been really, really helpful, and I think it's actually allowed me to keep on feeding him now. So, and I think I'll probably feed him for as long as he is up for it, and that the only reason I think I'll be able to feed him for 1 year, 18 months, a year and a half, however long it goes for, is because I've combination fed him and I've taken the pressure off of exclusively breastfeeding. So it's something I'm really glad I did, but it's been a really weird year of so much easier than I was expecting and so much harder than I was expecting. So I'm going to have his birthday party. I've got a friend coming and making cocktails, and I'm going to celebrate myself because I'm really proud of how I've handled it. It's not been easy, but I've done it, guys. I've done 1 year with a tiny baby that I've made, grown, birthed, and kept alive. I think women need to give themselves more of a round of applause for doing this. So that is Merlin's birth story, and I am gonna go and prepare for his party / my party, where I drink a whole load of cocktails. It's gonna be awesome. Sending you lots of love. If you have any questions, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll see you next week. Bye. One of the things I love about being a holistic nutritionist is all the emails and messages I get from clients telling me how much more energy they have, how they wake up feeling good, how they're no longer bloated, how they've lost weight, how their poos are normal, how this that's affecting their relationships, how they've got new jobs because they have new energy, how their hormones are happier, more balanced, their depression is gone, their anxiety is eased, that maybe come off medications under the supervision of their doctor. That is what I love the most. And one of the things that I almost love more than that is when I get these emails that have pictures of tiny babies that have been born as a result of working with clients to really support their hormones and really optimize their body for fertility. I'm really passionate about preconception care. And so I've worked with lots of women that have come to me. Maybe they don't have a period. They've had PCOS and they've not had a period or ovulated in years. And we work really closely together. They've gotten their period back during our time together. And then I get a message a couple of months later saying they're pregnant. And then 9 months later, a picture of their sweet, sweet baby. Or other women that maybe are having their periods, but they are, for whatever reason, are not falling pregnant. And there is so much you can do when it comes to your nutrition and lifestyle choices. So much. So if you are really struggling with your hormones, if you're thinking, you know what, I would maybe like to have a baby in future, but I can see I've got loads of digestive issues or my hormones are a bit wonky, or maybe you're trying for a baby and it's not working for you, get in touch. You can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.co.uk and click the Work With Me page and just click on the button there to book in a call with me. There's so much we can do. I've helped lots of women when it comes to balancing their hormones, getting their periods back, and really optimizing their body for fertility. And I would love to help you because I just love getting pictures of those tiny babies in my inbox. It's honestly so much fun. And also, just to say, I can work with women in conjunction with having IVF, with IUI, with doing any other fertility treatment. You don't have to go all on, like, you don't, it's not, this is about integration. You can use nutrition and use medication. You can just use nutrition. You can just use acupuncture. You know, this is about figuring out what is the perfect source that's going to help your hormones to really balance well. So head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org or .co.uk, click the work with me page, or if you're on Instagram or Facebook, you can DM me and we can book in a chat to discuss more about working together and how to get your hormones in a really happy and healthy place. Sending you lots of love. Bye.